This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go with the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Wednesday. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio.
Boys.
Yeah.
I should say men.
Yeah.
Boys to men.
Yeah.
I have some good news.
Hey, no more Debbie Downer stuff. Let's go.
I haven't been Debbie Downer today.
No, except for the first segment.
It
was honesty, though.
I made a conscious effort to come in today in a little better mood. Even though I'm not, I'm pretending for you.
Was it noticeable, Nick?
What?
I thought he was in a good mood.
I think you're a liar.
Okay.
The first segment was Boys to Men's It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to the Joke Joint.
Well, yeah, that's just that sad. Part, yeah.
That was the Debbie Downer. We've picked it up since then.
Okay.
All right, continue.
I went to get a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
In our break room.
Yeah.
Where the worst vending machine in the world exists.
Was that guy in there?
No.
He's already, he already hates Barry.
There, is it the does. Same guy I just saw? Because I was about to say, for all the crap you've talked about the dude that fills that machine, I saw a different dude today or something. This dude's about 6'6", 6'7".
Let me finish. I know. I was going to say, I don't think he's talking about the...
Okay.
So, yeah, no, that the guy that was like, man, some jerk keeps putting sticky notes on the vending machine. I'm like, who would do that?
Yeah, that's a different guy, though,
totally
right?
Me, yeah.
Okay.
So I went in there to get the Diet Coke,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to notice that there are snacks and cases of sodas on the table.
I saw them.
Do you know what that means?
It's going to get stolen?
Means... No.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right.
Don't
by the
think
end of the
I
day.
Didn't think, ooh, I'll just reach in here and grab some bags of these. No. The new vending machine is on the way, guys.
Oh.
How do you know?
Because all the snacks are there for
but maybe
it.
They're going to put them in the old machine.
Man, not raggedy-ass machine. They're not putting all those delicious snacks. You
it's
see
possible.
What's in there? Plain Lay's.
It's possible.
Raisin Bran.
It's possible.
They got tubes of like X-Lax. It's like they got nothing to eat in that thing.
They come in the same size containers.
No.
They can put those drinks in there.
I guarantee you. You want to bet? You want to bet that we won't have a new vending machine with those snacks in it?
No, but I was going to bet you that you won't take on the guy that I saw as opposed to the guy you talked to because I saw the guy bring in those snacks and put it on the table. Put them on the table. He may not be 30. But dude was like 6'6", and like in some deep. I was like, oh, Barry ain't coming here to talk mess about this raggedy ass machine today.
Listen, I think you underestimate my willingness and ability to get beat up. I really, I'm not scared of anyone. What, can I beat up most people? No. But it doesn't mean I'm going to be scared to fight him.
Okay, I'm going down the hallway next segment.
So
then,
I
and
will,
if he's still here,
yeah.
I want to bring him in.
There's a difference. I know I'm going to get my ass whooped. I'm just not going to be scared of it happening. You can't.
I walked in. I was like, I see this dude unloading all this stuff onto the table. And I'm like, first of all, you're not the same dude that's not all there that normally runs the vending machine. But secondly, I was like, I don't think many people are going to bitch about the vending machine options today.
Well, I'm just glad it's happening. You have no idea. And then I got to hear AJ giving me grief about it because I was like, bro, new vending machine. He's like, I don't know why you spend all your money on that. I'm like, I need my Diet Cokes. He's like, why don't you just bring some? I was like, we've covered this.
Yes.
Because people will steal it.
And Nick brings up the most valid point of all. People will steal that stuff in the kitchen right now.
Yeah. And he said.
It's probably gone.
So yeah. AJ's point was when he leaves, he says he grabs an energy drink and a Topo Chico for the road. And I'm like, well, first of all, you're a hipster.
Topo
second of all.
Chico.
Yeah.
People
it's
drink
awful.
That.
Oh, it's awful.
It is awful.
It helps with hangovers, though.
I said, second of all, I do, before I leave the house, I grab two cans of Diet Coke. They're gone before I get here. What am I supposed to, like, just haul around a 12-pack? No. This is the best news
Get
ever.
Get a cooler and put it in the back.
People will steal it.
Put a blanket over it.
No. You know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a case at Sam's, and I'm going to put it in the break room, and I'm going to put, don't drink this Diet Coke. It gave me diarrhea. And most people won't mess with it at that point, I'm guessing, unless you're just a fan of diarrhea. And then I might lose
or
a couple.
Or people that are willing to take a risk and are gamblers.
Could be.
They might roll the dice.
The Blitz. They're the gamblers, amongst
others,
right?
Yeah, amongst others. There might be some people. By the way, so I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but there's signs all over that they're upgrading and remodeling the entire building, and they've got all these fancy pictures of what the lobby's going to look like and all the waiting room areas and all the kind of upscale, cool, modern art kind of thing it's going to look like. And they're like, so, you know, obviously it's going to be so, pardon our mess along the way. Things are going to be happening. Do you know what they're starting on? It's not the lobby. It's not the furniture.
The roof.
It's not the roof, which is the ceiling. It is the staircase.
The staircase.
They're painting them red.
Yeah, I noticed it in the other building.
Well, there's an upgrade everybody will see daily. What are you doing?
I take the stairs every day.
I know, and Nick does, and a lot of times we all walk downstairs together. But at the same time, that's really what you're focused on? What could be upgraded here?
Maybe they get the low-hanging fruit first, the easy
stuff.
Why don't
we start? Well, I can tell you where you can help the low-hanging fruit. Start with the bathrooms. Clean those babies up and upgrade them a little bit. Maybe do auto flush so that we can get rid of some of the people that just are very impolite. You're wrong. I do.
Nope.
Not only do I.
I'm going to tell you right now, you don't flush. You pee and walk away because you think there's an auto flush there.
You can try and sell me out on that, but people know that that is not the case.
People know.
I have walked in as you were walking out, and there's pee in the urinal.
You're wrong.
I know that's
you are absolutely wrong. No. And we've already talked about the amount of people that have never seen their own outdoor plumbing that don't know the ability
what does that have
to do?
What does not seeing your penis have to do with you not flushing?
They don't see when they're done. So then,
what? How do who
our
doesn't know
urinal
when
looks
done?
Like Lake Gal? At the base of the urinal. There's a floor full of pee every day because people don't know, evidently, they're done and when to shake and put it away.
That's just dudes.
That's just dumb.
Everywhere I've worked, the floors are always gross.
Well, they don't do it at home. Why would they do it at work?
Oh, you doubt that these people don't do this at home?
Well.
I would be willing to bet you otherwise.
That's ridiculous. Almost as ridiculous as I'm walking out just now. Nick, I just told Barry this. Unbelievable. I'm walking out and one of the interns whips his headphones off and goes, breaking news. I'm like, what do you got? Kevin Durant just tore his ACL. I mean, I go, what? He goes, he tore his Achilles. I go, really? When? He's like, I don't know. I think it was the other day. I'm like,
breaking news.
What are we doing?
Breaking news, guys. We landed on the moon.
What?
Whoa. Guys, breaking news. We won World War II. Congratulations, America. We did it.
Marijuana's legal in certain states?
Oh, that's so funny.
So then he was trying, and then he tried to, like, you know, clean it up a little bit to look like he already knew. I was like, so what's that timetable, bro? Like, he goes, 12 months, easy. I go, well, Kobe came back in, like, 243, right? He goes, yeah, something like that. I'm like, okay, there's a project for you.
Why are you so mean to the interns, Joel?
Because I learned from you. I'm not being mean. That was self-inflicted.
I used to be a lot nicer. Really don't care for the interns anymore.
Yeah, Nick used to be like, you can't send them to go get you like a sandwich or something.
Care.
Or
send them away.
Why have you gotten so angry with the interns?
They're just annoying. They're just thirsty and annoying.
We have enough of them.
Both male and female.
There's a
and
lot.
And I'll be
of,
the bad guy, and I don't care.
There's a lot of thirsty people in this business, though. I mean, they're going to fit right in. Let's be real.
Yeah.
There are, of all, like, you have to have a certain amount of thirst to do this job, right?
I love how Tyler brings them in when they're, like, in their introductory, like, little tour. He's like, more times than not, you can come in the control room and shadow them. And more times than not, the producer will say, yes, not me, not that guy.
You don't allow them.
No, I tell them to schedule a time.
Uh-huh.
And more times than not, they don't circle
back.
That's
Nick's safety place in there. He's made it very clear.
Yep.
Because remember, he used
don't
to get too many
here.
Drive-bys that used to just come
don't
in and decide that they could. That's their audience chair. They could sit and listen with Nick.
I will be the bad guy in that regard. Do not care.
The ecosystem was big on that.
The what?
Oh, he was the first one to get banned,
Kelly
wasn't
Eco.
He?
Oh.
That was his own viewing room. He used to just sit in there, listen to us, and then just talk to Nick the whole time while he was trying to do his job.
Yeah, I've never understood, like, people will come in and sit in the studio and watch us talk. There's nothing I would want to do less than watch two dudes talk.
Well, if we wanted a studio audience, we'd build bleachers. But instead, because we have all these chairs in here, people randomly, without even knocking, or especially because we're already on the air and a lot of times, the door just opens while we're in mid-sentence and we got to keep staying focused on the conversation while someone just plops down and goes, hey, what you guys doing?
Fortunately, that doesn't happen really anymore. They do come in at breaks and stuff.
Is that because the couch is gone?
No, it's because some people are gone.
Oh.
That used to do that all the time. I saw one up in the hall. He's still here randomly.
I just know that there are people that just feel like that's okay.
Yeah. It feels weird. Like, I felt weird interrupting Charlie today, but I waited to the break because he had a trivia question about, because he was talking about Christian Yelich and how he's on track for maybe 50-30. And he was like, who's the last person that got close to 50-30? And I was like, damn, who would that have been? And I guessed the year right. I was like, was it Bonds in 97? Mm-hmm. And he was like, it was 97. But it wasn't Bonds. And he said, good guess. And it ended up being Larry Walker.
Larry Walker.
And I was like, wow, I should have known. Anytime you're talking about power numbers and records.
Was that Montreal?
You always got to consider Colorado. A Rocky. Yeah, you always got to consider a Rocky one. If you come across a baseball trivia question that's about power numbers, chances are a Rocky's on the list.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's my bad. That's on me. I got to be a better trivia player.
And Charlie will be, and Ken Hoffman will be the two that will tell you that.
So you think I can buy a snack, just give him the cash directly? You think he'll sell me a snack?
I think just wait on the machine to get in. Are you that hungry?
Yeah.
I think, Nick, you go in there, and if someone's already tapped into a box, just grab yourself and go.
Hopefully he brought some Doritos.
Just go grab some and get them back here. If you scamper now and get back in time, if no one's in the kitchen, you're good. We won't tell anybody.
I'll run over there.
No one will know. It's our secret.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Final hour of the show. Still more to get to. And, of course, you're always welcome to join in. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line where you can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Here's over on...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, rolling through final hour of the show. Still having a good time and hopefully entertain you along the way in your business day or whatever you may be doing in the big city. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Just to throw it out there.
Throw it.
A Woj bomb of sorts, but Adrian Wojnarowski.
Katie's.
Confirmed already that Kevin Durant, and so did Jake Asmund, by the way, confirms he did rupture his Achilles. Well, we kind of figured that out. Celtics and Lakers are engaged in trade talks with New Orleans on Anthony Davis. League sources tell him, amongst others, the Lakers' number 4 pick has been discussed as a trade chip to help the Pelicans acquire high-level talent in a multi-team deal. I just don't know. It depends if it's the Lakers and the Celtics, if it's a three-team deal, which one gets him? Because the other thing that came out last night, which there's an article, there's a long article out with Rich Paul. And Rich Paul was LeBron's guy growing up, one of his best friends, and now he's, you know, turned himself into somewhat of a super agent type guy. And he was out there adamantly in detail saying, it doesn't matter who trades for Anthony Davis. You know, mark my words, we're going to free agency. We're testing free agency no matter what.
Oof.
That's a painful blow to the Pelicans. That means you better get it done now, between now and the draft, and don't let it linger, because what you get in return is going to go down quickly.
Yeah, you don't like the you're taking away their posturing by doing that, and maybe that's strategic on his part.
It's possible.
Maybe they're so soured with the Pelicans that they're like, you know what, we'll even ruin their chances of moving you.
It really does seem that way, because you know what, you shouldn't care along the way, as long as eventually you get to where you want to play next, you know, and the money that you want to get. And if they send you to a team, here's the thing you got to take into consideration. If they send you to a team now that you like, you can get the Supermax deal which you couldn't get just in free agency. And you can get it from a team that you wanted to play for no matter what anyway, and be in the destination you want to go to. But it works both ways, because then they'll say, well, then we're definitely not going to trade you where you want to go, and that's going to cost you, as we talked about the other day, this many millions of dollars. And if you like, you can recoup that during marketing, knock yourself out.
Hey, Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly right.
Flip us a pick.
Yep.
We'll send him over, and maybe you guys can be like Toronto and just take that gamble that, hey, you know what? We know Kawhi Leonard for DeRozan might be a rental, but we're willing to do it.
Cleveland's in full rebuild mode.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and try that one again.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful, but, you know, again, everybody want these days too, everybody's got to be out there, like we said, in the public, getting that attention. So Rich Paul's out there with that interview to make sure everybody knows he's the boss, he's in charge, and AD is not going to be signing long-term anywhere he's traded. We'll see. I guarantee you, if he gets traded to the right city they offer up the Supermax, he ain't going to be in that free agency market. So,
especially if he goes to L.A. and it's the Lakers and they add another piece and now they're, you know, finishing top two in the Western Conference and competing for titles and all that happens in the next year, he ain't going nowhere.
Because you think about it, the thing that was crazy to me was that we were talking about it yesterday that, it, you know, not that it's a foregone conclusion, but that KD could just take that player option, 31.5, and then explore free agency. And then we also mentioned the fact that there were a couple teams that said, no, he should opt out because we'd still be willing to basically redshirt him for a year, for lack of a better term, and still pay him 38+. Now, they're saying that the entire market... I didn't expect that. Now... when you look at what the landscape is in free agency, yeah, I was going to say, you're welcome. It could change the landscape of everything free agency wise based on what he does and if he does or doesn't go and the people that could go out there too. And I was thinking, because someone asked me last night, well, is there any team that really would want to take on Chris Paul's contract? I was like, the only thing I could think of is if the Lakers completely strike out and he's been in LA before and he and LeBron are tight, and they could make that move to try and put those two guys together and give them a chance to push for one. I could see that. But now, the way it's all going, the Lakers might be knee-deep in the middle of everything.
Yeah. You wonder if the Rockets might be involved in a three-team deal.
I'm sure Daryl's... because Daryl's really good at three-team deals.
Right.
That he could get in the mix on that.
The good thing about a three-team deal... is, especially for a guy like Daryl, is that he's got that reputation of fleecing other GMs. Mm-hmm. Of, oh man, he made that GM look stupid. Nobody wants to deal with you if you have that reputation.
Yep.
So in a three-team deal, it lessens that some. Like, you're not like, hey, we weren't the only team involved here. There was a lot of moving parts, and no one really bears the full blame or burden of a bad trade in a three-team deal.
Right.
So that might be an advantage that Daryl Morey and the Rockets can jump into. But I do like your way of thinking, though, because I could see L.A. as the Lakers as a destination for a guy like Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. But it's scary to think that if it's the Lakers and the Celtics and the Pelicans in a three-team deal, one or both of those teams are going to be ridiculous. It's shaping
that's
up.
That's the other thing. For as much as if you're a Rockets fan, you're going, it looks like it could very well be the end of the Warriors dynasty. And when you think about the fact that when I talked about it yesterday, they could be $380 some million into the luxury cap tax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just an astronomical amount that these two owners that were on 60 Minutes talking about the new San Francisco arena for the Warriors, and one of them being Joe Lacombe being so confident everything's going to go, and the other one going, man, I'm not with the Warriors. I'm with the Warriors. He's like, because Joe talked me into this deal for this arena, but every day I worry about, are we going to get the money back? Well, you may get the money back, but if you're paying that much luxury tax because you maxed out four guys, but let alone just Clay, KD, and Steph, and you're going to pay that tax for that amount, and then when you're a repeat offender, you get more tax? I mean, that's just a ridiculous amount of money to be paying a luxury tax. So when you think about it, the Warriors' breakup could be great for the Rockets, except most of the teams with the cash that could better an already good team are in your own conference.
Yeah. Yeah. This offseason is starting to look less and less promising for the Rockets as we move into it.
And here's the other thing,
it gets
Barry,
worse and worse.
You're a free agent, okay? You're Barry Laminack. You had a great year. You're looking to get paid, but you want to win because you've been in the league a while. Of all the different teams that are out there, what makes it It used to be the Rockets were sexier than most because of a lot of what we talked about from the city and no tax and you know who you're playing with and all these other things. Now you're looking at it going, well, I like Mike D'Antoni and I'm going to get my shots, but he may only be there a year. I like Chris Paul and Harden, but we just talked about maybe they trade Chris Paul. But otherwise, those two guys, from what I heard, still aren't getting along. And then I got an owner that's kind of a loose cannon for the first year and some.
Oh, is he a loose cannon?
Well, from what I've heard and what we... From the time and what I saw when they lost, and now what I'm seeing since then, he went from hands off, I'm just going to learn about the franchise, see what's going on, to we're going to kick their asses, and this isn't acceptable, and we got to step on people's throats. And then all of a sudden, your assistant coaches are cleared out, and your video guys are cleared out, and your player development guys are cleared out, and you're playing chicken with your head coach with extensions and talk and. It just, if I'm looking for a stable franchise too when I make a move. And if I'm Barry Laminek and I'm looking, are you looking at Houston?
So I agree with all that, but I think it would be unfair at this point. I'm not trying to chastise you, but I think it would be unfair at this point to label Tillman and Fertitta a loose cannon. I think he's trying to make changes and do what he sees needs to be done.
Fair.
Is he fiery? Yes. Loose cannon is.
But yet.
That's just when guys are off the rails and do stuff. What's his name in Washington Redskins owner, Daniel Snyder? Is a loose cannon.
Yeah.
So
give me a different term. So not loose cannon, but he's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde or...
I mean, just fiery right now. Really more than anything. Like
or firing, because he's firing everybody. Well,
okay, there you go. He's fiery and firing.
Okay.
But he's trying to establish himself. You know, he's got a little Cal McNair in him. Cal's like, nope, my team now. Bye, Brian Gain. Get your ass out. I'm in charge. I'm running things. And I think, Tillman sat back and he watched the year develop and let's see what happens. And they disappointing. And Tillman's a driven man. He didn't get to where he is by just sitting pat and being passive. And, look what he did for U of H. And so he's going to go out and do what he thinks needs to be done to make the organization
and
better.
The fact that he's always been willing to take the chance and make the commitment. But
so, in fact, if I'm a player, maybe I look at it as at least he wants to win. At least he's not just like, well, I'm just making money. He seems to be like, you know what? Whatever we have to do to win, we're going to do it.
But, okay.
So I'm just playing devil's advocate. Sure, I'm not suggesting that's the case.
That's fine.
But that would be the only positive. Everything else you said, absolutely agree.
Because here's the other thing, Barry. When you look at it, and you look at it, and I wrote a little bit about this for Sports Map, but it's really been kind of not bothering me, but I've really been putting more thought into it.
Losing sleep.
In the fact that, you got three teams that have been very, very successful sports-wise over the last 3 to 5 years in this town. But one of them...
The Astros.
Don't forget 65 wins, a franchise record, the number one seed in the West, and, of course, the ultimate saying of one hamstring. But even from a Texans perspective, you're still winning the division. But when you look at it and you give the – there's only one going in the right direction because the owner
– The Dynamo.
Stays out of it until he's needed. He lets his people do their jobs, and they do it well. And then when he's needed and he needs to open the purse strings for a Verlander or either trading for him or getting an extension done – or to make the moves that he commits that way. You've got a GM that is on top of his game, building the farm system, and also communicating with the manager and putting the right players on the field. And if a guy prices himself out, he finds the right replacement. And then you got a manager that completely knows how to play both sides between analytics and just eye test and rest. Mm-hmm. And the other two franchises, you got two guys running the show seemingly, and both guys are the most scrutinized around, but yet they keep getting more control. James Harden, who everybody wants to beat up, but from all intents and purposes, it's James's franchise now. Mm-hmm. And Bill O'Brien, who hasn't won anything, except for when he was with the Patriots. So now suddenly it's the Patriots' way. And the more he just stays kind of just winning division titles, the more power he gets, the more things he gets to do.
Here's the thing, though, man. All that stuff that you're saying, the Astros, I don't want to say they got lucky.
Okay.
But the Astros got the two right guys in place for their respective jobs, and that's A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow.
Okay.
But also keep in mind, too, that the Astros had a system in place. That those guys with analytics and scouting, you don't just rebuild an organization like they did by just having two guys. So I think a lot of it is true that you've got to have the right GM and the right manager. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Mike D'Antoni, as much as I love him, is the right manager to get you to a finals and win.
Right.
because the you talked about how the offense is different and defense and all those things. And the same thing about Daryl Morey. I mean, he's a wheeler and dealer, but does he make the right decisions? So same thing with the Texans. But remember, too, it's about the supporting cast. And maybe that's why Tillman said all of these guys that have been here have to go.
Well,
so maybe he didn't feel like the supporting cast was good enough.
But also the fact that you know the two guys that you've been adamant on saying that have been
I get it.
And just like Luno had a plan, Daryl has analytics.
Yep.
Daryl supposedly has a plan, but yet draft picks are being traded away in every deal, and now you're cap strung because whether you made the handshake deal with Chris Paul or not, you locked him in for four at a massive amount of money.
But how much of this do you think at the end of the day is there's I shouldn't say how much, but let's just be honest. There's some luck involved in getting the right guys.
Always is. Always is. I don't disagree with that. And we've seen it. And I, sometimes I know more than most, but at the same time, no, I know how much luck factors in too.
Yeah.
You're right. But it's just interesting to think about that because you don't see the harmonious communication between ownership, general manager, and coach and on the other two teams like you do with the Astros.
That's a good point.
So, all right, we got a half hour to go when we come back. Much more of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. The cream of the crop. I rise to the top. I never...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Wednesday. Appreciate you taking us along wherever you may be, whatever you're doing, and participating within the show. We do appreciate it. I've got a video coming out on Sports Map as well that they asked me to do because of the fact that I've been passionate about this. But I was just talking about the fact that, you know, of the three teams in this town, and let's not forget, none of them have been bottom feeders.
No,
they've had their successes. Yeah. So as a fan base, you should be thankful. But when you look at it, as much as, like you said, sports has become so analytically driven, and it's been such a big deal. But the lost art of communication and the structure within a front office, the way everything runs, the more well-oiled it is as a machine, the more productivity you see. Sure, the players still got to play, but you know, I don't know. Sometimes if a lot of people don't look at, they're looking at the wrong thing, because you're the one that's been right about it. And I didn't really take that hard of a look at it until you said it, because I was guessing even wrong when you said, what are the two constants with the Rockets that haven't changed? Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's James Harden and it's Daryl Morey.
And, you know, within these organizations, too, there's you know this better than any of us here, but within these organizations, there's a lot of support that gets provided to the guys at the top, the Daryl Moreys of the world and the Jeff Lunos. And, and if that support system doesn't exist or isn't doing its job the best that they can do, it tends to make the rest of the organization
absolutely
suffer. And you look bad. And the Astros, I feel like now you kind of knew Jeff Luno had already done it in St. Louis, so that's why you went and got him. But getting Jeff Luno and getting AJ Hinch at the time that they got them, it was just, you kind of lucked into it. Just like you saw what Bill Belichick was in Cleveland, but then when you put him in New England and you give him Tom Brady and you give him the support that he got from his GM and everybody else, magic happens. So I think it's part of this is, to me, it would be, you have to question, is Mike D'Antoni the right fit? Is Daryl Morey the right fit? Is Brian Gain the right fit? Well, obviously we know
here's what I was going to say to that.
But is Bill O'Brien the right fit? And whatever GM they get. So is this GM and this coach the best tandem and duo, and do they have the support system in place within the Texans to go
and
win
those
a Super
are questions
Bowl
to be asked? But here's the other thing, to take your point a step further, like when I was thinking about all this, just like you said, the two guys that have been standing through all of this with the Rockets, has been Harden and Morey. Now when you look at it and you say, who's the constant for the Texans? Well, you can't say it was Rick Smith or Brian Gain. You can't say it was Bob McNair because now it's Cal. But the one guy that's – and you can't say it's all the quarterbacks they've rushed through.
No.
But now the one guy that's been consistent and constant through all of it is Bill O'Brien. And the thing is, instead of getting more scrutiny, or as we like to say with the hot seats and all the other things, he got the extension – when he probably didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Daryl got the extension when he probably didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
But he's the guy from a Texans perspective that's been standing through all of this that isn't that seems to be Teflon, just like Harden and Morey for the Rockets.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you have to be willing to say, you know what, we don't think that I think you have to honestly assess, can we win a Super Bowl? Can we win an NBA title? Can we can we win a world championship?
Whoa, we're even now.
Guys, that's on me. That's why I got to be a better burper.
No,
I
didn't hit AJ the encourages button. It.
Yeah. So I think most franchises have those discussions, but there's only so many guys and there's only so many titles to win. And
well, but then don't you have to come forward to your fan base and say, hey, our ultimate goal isn't Super Bowls and championships. We're content with winning division titles.
No, you don't
right.
say
so
that.
Then if you're not content with just winning division titles,
you keep at trying a certain until you point, get lucky.
Yeah, and you also have to identify, hey, look, we should be giving Bill O'Brien less power, not more.
Yeah.
We should put more fire under his ass than giving him more comfort and cushiony, pillowy places to fall and start really, like Tillman, like you said, put your foot down and go, look, this isn't acceptable.
But so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's good.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, is that why Cal did what he did? Is this Cal McNair
if indeed
basically saying
it was him?
Look, the way that this franchise was run was, you know, my dad did it one way, I'm doing it a different way. And I'm gonna hold us to a different standard or a higher standard, or probably a different standard would be the best way. Because I don't think that Bob McNair didn't want to win. I just think he valued other things as much as winning.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to, there's a pecking order and it has to start and end with winning. And then everything else is kind of, you make concessions as needed. But, you know, Bob McNair worried as much about the image of this team as he did anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He worried as much about change. You know, and oh well, you know, but Rick Smith is a good person, and Bill O'Brien
I don't care if I'm getting an all pro, I'm not taking him if he's been convicted of a crime.
Yeah, so I think that Cal maybe is sending a different message.
So you believe this is Cal's move? You believe what Bill O'Brien is selling you?
I think that yes, especially when Pat the Stat on Twitter,
Pat Starr,
said, yeah. And he's a good insider when it comes to the Texans. I tend to believe that, yeah, maybe Cal is trying to establish himself because he's been he hasn't been the man. He hasn't been in charge. It's been his dad. And he's run things, but not at this level. And so this is Cal's way of saying, listen, everyone has to perform.
Fair enough. I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I'm not buying it. Yeah. I've tried to talk to
you. You think
to
Bill O'Brien has enough power over Cal to make that happen on his own?
Let me tell you this. I think that Bill O'Brien sees what we've saw of Cal before his dad passed away, which was a guy that is really not only content but adamant about staying out of the limelight. Doesn't want the attention.
You think so?
I do. And doesn't want to get into all this stuff. And I think that Bill O'Brien sees that you got a guy that's kind of introverted and passive, that maybe Bill O'Brien takes even more of the reins and goes, you know what? Now this is my chance that, you know, I can really put my stamp on this and I can do things my way.
Why hasn't he been doing that though? I mean, damn.
But again, in the past, you had an owner that wasn't going to let him just run roughshod. That even though you're right, they were running the organization a certain way, but yet he still was going to have a say. And I think that maybe the other thing was, I think Bill O'Brien got his guy. But when you hear what he said at the press conference, he probably didn't like the fact that he was getting critiqued. That he said that Brian Gain was telling him things that he needs to do better as a coach. And now he's not here. So I have a lot of question marks before. I hope to God you're right, because I want to see the best out of that franchise. And you're going to waste the best years of JJ, whatever's left of, with JJ Watt and with D-Hop and Watson and all those guys. And it's going to go by the wayside unless I hope you're right. I hope you get a more hands-on owner in Cal that says, you know what, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah. I think there definitely needs to be a culture change and an attitude change.
For sure.
Within the Texans, for sure.
Absolutely. So,
and then that occurred with the Astros, and you see the product of that. But again, you can change the attitude And you can change the culture, but you have to have the right guys in place and the right infrastructure. And the Astros got lucky in a way, and all of that fell into place. But this is also why their scouting department
lucky
has been
good, though.
Well, yeah, you have to be both. But this is also why their scouting department and their lead analytical folks are all being snatched up by other teams who are trying to replicate what they did. But you had the right guys in place, and you also had the right support system. You can't just have one or the other.
Right.
No championship team just has a decent, an okay GM, but fantastic scouts. It's all got to be.
Or even like that, you can have the best players on the field, but if you're not worried about locker room chemistry and coaching and general manager. So I guess I say all that to say what we also said the other day, which is instead of a couple of the teams that aren't so good being jealous and hateful, just despising the other teams in town, take a page out of their book.
No.
Work more about harmoniously working together and getting the right people that can communicate.
Well, you're going to like this text.
Okay.
You know, I know we got to get out of here, but hasn't Tad Brown been there as long as Daryl has?
I want to tell you right now about the good people at Infuse Energy. They're locally owned and operated by Josh Pesikoff, his staff. They do a fantastic job. How do I know? Well, right now, the numbers that we're getting out of the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, they're getting 5 out of 5 stars. They are killing it. And that's why you want them as your energy provider, because not only are they going to have great customer service and treat you like you deserve to be treated, but they're going to give you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can while being honest 100% of the time. And that's what you really want when you're doing business with somebody. Just check out their website, infuseenergy.com, or better yet, give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Several listeners have gone over to Infuse Energy in the last few weeks. I sent them there personally, and they have been taken care of, and you can too. Josh and his staff are happy to help you out, and they're going to give you the best rate they possibly can. When you call, it's not an automated system that you get frustrated with as you yell prompts into the phone. You're going to get a human being. They ask you questions because they want to know, when do you use energy the most? When do you use it the least? Is it the weekends? Is it the weekdays? Is it for work or is it for your family? Just so they can pinpoint the best deal possible and the best rate. And that's all you can really ask for. So give them a call and check it out. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. It's a $25 bill credit, and they'll take you from there until they find out the best rate and plan they can give you. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final segment of the show. I believe this is the first Fred-less Blitz show of what will be several, including one that you will be participating in, because your loyalty to us just non-existent.
That wasn't my decision, actually.
Well, for whatever reason, I believe I was
called into the principal's office and told that's what I would be doing. I wasn't asked.
Well, Nick and I were
asked. Hey, do you want to do the Blitz instead of The Usual Suspects? He goes, hey, this is what makes the most sense. You live up there. Instead of driving down here and then driving back and doing an appearance, why don't you just do the Blitz? And I was like, okay. Because I was geeked about that. I would lift the house at 3:45, been at work at 3:50 because we're doing it at the Big City Wings right there on Rayford.
I didn't say it doesn't make sense.
So
from a personal, time-consuming sense for you, I get it. Here's the analogy I would make, though, Barry. Just quickly, because we got stuff we got to get to. But I'm just saying. So if
James Harden pro camp.
Yeah, I mean, if Altuve,
I'm going to do that.
I mean, but Nick, here's the thing.
What?
If Altuve goes down,
can't hear you.
If Altuve goes down, instead of just getting a different second baseman, if you move your first baseman to second base and then put another guy in, aren't you screwing up two positions? I'm just asking a question.
You know what sucks the most? Is that I was all geeked up about, man, I'm going to sleep all day. I'll probably get up about noon, play video games till like 3:40.
Yeah.
3:45,
yep.
Go to work. My friend that passed his service is that day in League City, 10 a.m.
Karma's a bitch.
So I get to get up now, drive down there for Chris Reed's service in League City, and then
and
drive
you're a good man for going to the service. And
oh, don't think for like a split second I was like, you know. No, I was like, that's an awful friend. That's an awful friend.
Exactly.
I would be there no matter what. So that's, but just so you're aware, that's okay. The luck I have. Hey, real quick, I want to tell the peeps about this James Harden Pro Camp. James Harden wants to play basketball with your kids. Attend the James Harden Basketball Pro Camp in partnership with Kroger, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kids in grades 1st through 12th can join James July 20th and 21st at the MI3 Center. Head to ESPN975.com to register to win a spot for one lucky kid to join James and his Houston area coaches for a small group instruction on basketball fundamentals. And can't have fundamentals without fun. ESPN975.com to register. Good luck.
I thought you were going to, when you paused there, I thought you were going to say other traits and characteristics you could learn.
That was awful.
That wasn't even close. Did you see that, Nick? He tried his no-look hook shot. It hit like the wall between us. It wasn't even close to the garbage can.
That was the worst shot in the history of shots.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
I'm not even going to give it back to you to try again because I might get hit.
I almost said something extremely inappropriate.
Why?
Why?
That?
No.
Oh.
I was about to say, even JFK thought that was a bad shot.
Oh, see?
That's not.
And you thought Nick was bad for making fat jokes on a dead comedian.
Karma's going to follow you all the way to cut and shoot, sir.
Yeah.
What does Q-Ball want to talk about?
I don't know.
It's been a while with him.
Doing the blitz. Yeah.
Okay.
What up, Q-Ball?
Q, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man? Hey, just coming in town from working on the project, but I overheard you're going to do the blitz, man. That's almost like what Joel was talking about. Altuve being hurt, he's going to go do a little rehab assignment. So you're already on the big show, so you're going to do a little rehab assignment down there for blitz, I guess, huh? Hang up and listen.
Thanks, Q.
Yeah, I'm going to our version of Round Rock.
Speaking of, because I mean, we're analytics driven around here.
That's Barry. Right. That's right.
So Q Ball does not like the blitz.
Established.
He does not like the blitz.
But he calls in the blitz.
Yeah.
Does he?
I don't think he doesn't
yes,
like
he
them.
Has.
I think he just likes busting people's chops.
I believe
as
that's
do
correct.
We all.
Yeah. There's a difference between Q-Ball having a comment like that and Kev or White Magic.
True.
Right?
No, true. White Magic yeah. wants to fight you.
Not me.
Fight
he wants,
me?
He wants to throw bows.
Not either one of us. Nope.
Mm-mm. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to fight AJ either.
H-Town Blue texted the show and said, did I miss the segment where Barry jumped on board the Air Jordan Express hype train, or are we burying the lead today? No, H-Town Blue. You did not miss the segment where I jumped on board. Listen, I want the kid to succeed, but this whole Air Jordan, it doesn't even make sense. It's not Jordan. It's Jordan. It's not Air. It wasn't Air Jordan. This is so stupid. Stop forcing it.
He hits a home run tonight, Barry.
I swear to
and
God.
I'm telling you you might want to take tomorrow off instead of Friday.
I started getting your dong tweets.
I saw that. I told you that. That
was not my dong, your dong. No. Stop it. Breaking news. Everyone on ESPN NBA Countdown has been fired. Is that true?
Is that true?
I did see something leak where they were pretty much not bringing back Paul Pierce, Chauncey Billups, and the chick that does it.
Michelle Beadle?
Yeah.
She's gone?
That's what I saw.
Damn, that's too bad.
Yeah.
It's all reportedly or
why would allegedly. That come out before the finals are over? That's a weird, know. That's bad timing.
I thought Beadle was one of the untouchables.
No.
No?
Uh-uh. Because remember, they moved her. She was on Get Up with Greenberg. And then they said, no, you can go back and just do NBA alone.
Oh.
And so they moved her to NBA alone after they bumped Sage Steele out of that role. But as much as like Paul Pierce has been wrong about everything, and I don't need him on the show, I thought Chauncey provided good insight. They love Jalen. I mean, Jalen does everything. Jalen and Jacoby, and he's got the podcast and that stuff going on. He's got the Get Up. He's doing the Countdown. I would think that Jalen's the only one that shouldn't be touched.
Unless I read it wrong, those were the three names I saw mentioned.
What were they?
No. Paul Pierce, not Jalen.
Yeah, Jalen's good. Yeah, I would
Pierce,
pick Jalen.
Phillips, yeah. And Beadle.
Yeah.
I think Jalen should
be. Did I say Jalen? Because if I did,
I
missed.
I don't think you did.
No, I said Paul Pierce. I was just making sure it wasn't Jalen.
You just put words in my mouth, making me look
like you
bad.
Do to me normally.
Yes. No.
About urinals and other things. yeah. So I can see why Jalen stays. And again, he's one of those like multi-platform ESPNers because he's doing podcasts and radio shows and TV and... He's like Stephen A. or Will Cain. You got a radio show, you do your TV, you do some other things, and now you're very valuable, like so me. We keep you around.
Like me.
What else
are
you
doing? Radio show, TV show.
Not under the Gow umbrella,
I'm like the...
It's all under the same umbrella, Chief.
I'm like the Stephen A. Smith of, nope, I don't want that. Never mind.
I just... If you come in tomorrow, I mean... Then I'll say you're the next Stephen A.
I say 98.5. That's my show.
He also said... I can't believe how many times they give him a pass. He uses the wrong name and gets the names wrong on everything. He keeps saying Kevin Durant loves basketball so much he goes to Rutgers Park. It's Rucker Park. And he follows it up in the next sentence with some other name, and he gets that name wrong. And I'm going, as guys on the set with him that are basketball guys, why are you not correcting him?
Now, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer to you.
Okay.
But you would have said the same thing.
No, we get stuff wrong all the time.
I get that, but again, Nick or someone will correct us. Our listeners correct us, for God's sake. And
well,
we
how do you know he's not
wrong?
Being corrected in the ear? And then the difference is we come back
Barry,
and go, yeah, we screwed up. We said the wrong thing. I meant to say this, or I thought it was this, and apparently it's not that. And so we get corrected all the time. He just doesn't have the opportunity, does
That's
he?
That's not true. I think a lot of times he deflects and I don't cares it and tough guys it until it gets to be such a steamrolling, overwhelming thing that he has to come back the next day and go, all right, I've been busy and I didn't know the tight end hadn't played a game all year. That's on me.
I've been busy.
But if it didn't get to that point, he'd be like, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Like Chandler Parsons as opposed to Carmelo Anthony. I mean, there's a difference. I think it's intimidation. I think people are afraid to correct him.
Really?
Because they'll get that firestorm.
That could be.
Because his first line of defense is scream at you, and then if you really stay adamant that you were wrong, then he might correct it.
I think that's what I'm going to start doing now. I'm just going to start screaming at you.
Oh, great. Can't wait for that. All right. You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for Cody Stutes filling in for Fred Fowler on the Blitz with AJ and Aaron. So that's coming up next. We appreciate you listening to The Suspects like we do every day. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.